The US government's much criticized policy of separating children from their parents at the border has been reversed following an executive order by President Donald Trump. It's an interesting step given his assertion last week that nothing could be done without the Democrats. US correspondent Taylor Kaplan joins us now. Good morning, Taylor.
Morning, Sam. Morning, Casey.
What drove the Trump administration to back down on the separation of children from their parents?
Lots of pressure coming from all sorts of angles in the end. You saw a real unusual alliance of many different factions, from hardline left-wing immigration reform advocates to clergy people on the right wing. Many people who might consider themselves allies of Trump consider this a bridge too far. And many who might have not opposed the idea on moral grounds, because they might have, might be lacking a moral center, might have seen these pictures and seen just the optics of the situation and decided that it was an untenable policy for the Trump administration if they are to reelect many representatives in the Republican Party in this year and to reelect Trump next election. So there are many different reasons, but it comes down to pressure in the end. People are not standing for this.
So Taylor, what happens now to people who cross the border with children? Are the kids being detained with their parents?
Kids are being detained with parents. And the policy as it stands now, there was a federal court ruling in 1997 that dictated that families that cross the border together are to be detained together, but for not more than 20 days, in which case they are to be deported back across the border, wherever they came from. This ruling was part of the impetus for the Trump administration's policy in the first place to separate families under the zero tolerance policy that in which they decided to prosecute all adults who cross the border. But in the case of prosecuting adults and leaving them detained in anticipation of a court date, you leave children in limbo because they can't be held in prison with their parents. So that was a lot of the reasoning behind family separation in the first place.
Speaking of the children, sorry to interrupt you, but just quickly, speaking of the children who have been held in limbo, what happens now for the 2,000 children who've already been split from their parents?
That is one of the things that's sort of up in the air right now, because the policy was reversed, but there's still a lot that remains to be seen in terms of how Trump plans to reunite children with their parents, because some of the parents have been deported. Some of the parents are being held in separately. And it was a hastily developed policy that the undoing of it is as messy as the writing of the policy itself. There are some children being held in military bases right now because there are not enough detention facilities that are up to capacity to hold these children. So a lot of the reversal of this decision is still, being hashed out. There are a lot of children who are being detained who are not accounted for, but in the coming days, we will see how the Trump administration deals with this and how they reunite children with their parents or deal with them in a lawful way in terms of letting them out of government control.
And were there some cases as well of children who were taken up by the state and then passed on to relatives or other, or fostered out, and that they might have then been essentially lost by the government?
Yes, that is the ongoing policy for children who are either unaccompanied with parents at the border or who with their parents can't be found. If they're taken in by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, in which case they are put into the foster system, or they locate a relative who already lives in the United States. And the big reason for the kids being unaccounted for is because, they might have a family member who is living off the grid because they might not be, they might have documentation to live here. There are some reasons why these kids might not be located that you might not be able to explain with, maliciousness on the part of the government. But that is the that's the standing policy right now, is to hand them over to the Office of Refugee Resettlement.
We're speaking with U.S. correspondent Taylor Kaplan about the reversal of border policy in the U.S. Online backlash against U.S. immigration policy has been spilling into the real world this week, with prominent Republican figures being chased out of restaurants. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. First of all, at the heat of the family separation crisis, on the day after Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen gave a press conference defending the Trump administration's position on this, she was eating at, of all places, a Mexican restaurant in Washington, D.C., where she was confronted by several members of the D.C. chapter of Democratic Socialists of America. It was caught on video. It was broadcast on Facebook Live as it was happening, in which, a group of, I'm not sure how many it was, it looked like maybe 20 or something, members of this group were confronting her vocally, loudly, and some patrons at the restaurant joined in, after which she voluntarily left. In another case, Stephen Miller, an advisor to the Trump administration, was yelled at in another Mexican restaurant. It's kind of a sick irony that, the Trump administration likes dining in Mexican restaurants when they are busy treating, refugees from Central America and Mexico just hostily, which he was apparently not run out of the restaurant, but confronted by several patrons calling him a fascist, yelling at him. And then the most recent incident was Sarah Sanders, who is the director of communications at the White House. She is the one who gives press conferences to the press correspondent at the White House. She was asked to leave a restaurant in Virginia by the owner of the restaurant, or the manager of the restaurant. The story goes she took the employees of the restaurant in for a vote. Many of them were uncomfortable with Sarah Sanders' presence. Took them in for a vote, and they voted to have the manager ask her to leave the restaurant, in which she did. You have a controversy following this incident, in which, Sarah Sanders and Donald Trump have both used government social media accounts to take this restaurant to task, which violates laws preventing politicians from taking stakes in private businesses. But it's getting harder and harder for people who work for this administration to occupy public space without being confronted. It's a reminder that these people they might make policy decisions in somewhat of a bubble, but the effect of those policies do not exist in a bubble. They exist in the real world, and people who don't like those policies can confront you in public space.
It's actually quite shocking and, as you said, bizarrely ironic. You almost couldn't make it up that they were dining in Mexican restaurants while Central American and Mexican people are trying to get through and having this struggle that's being forced on them by the politicians. But the idea of people being chased out of public spaces, Taylor, do you think that it's just going to get more hostile? Is this just about as bad as it can get over there, or are things likely to continue heating up and politicians' lives are going to be made worse by the public who they're meant to serve?
Well, I think if there's any one thing we've learned from this administration so far, there's no bottom. Things can always get worse. Things can always get more hostile and more differences can grow. So far we've seen public officials being yelled at. Physical assault. I suppose things could go there if we're talking about how worse it could get. But it's a growing trend. a government official in the state of Florida who took away protections for insurance carriers for pre-existing conditions. She was chased out of a documentary this week about Mr. Rogers, the television personality. It's becoming a trend even in local politics. So we will see where this goes. It's already heating up controversy even within the political left here in America as to how does this look to the average voter. Do they see a public official being yelled at and feel sympathy for them? And could that sympathy drive them to vote for Trump or to maybe not sympathize with the political left? That fight is being hashed out right now. It's sparking a lot of conversations and really, in an election year, it's making both parties sort of question, is this what we want? Do we want leaders to be publicly shamed when they are treating immigrants with such, I don't know what you want to say, if you're treating them sadistically, or do you want to take a pragmatic approach, whatever that might be?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot to still go ahead and thanks, as always, Taylor, for coming on the show and keeping us up to date.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Sam.
And good luck out there.